Hey, everyone. Hey, Brian.
Good to be back.
It's good to be back. I'm back in a place with somewhat controlled audio, although I'm having a bunch of tree work done, and one of those giant tree grinding machines is literally outside my window. However, I got a new microphone, and I believe it didn't even pick it up. It's ridiculous. So there's a bunch of onboard software stuff built into the mic, and it's...
Wow.
So it might not even affect us.
Does it have a bunch of AI in there so they can like correct your grammar if you say something wrong? That'd be cool.
That would be cool. No, but it has like noise gates and noise reduction and
nice
high pass filters and stuff like that. With that, let's go ahead and kick this off. Hello and welcome to Python Bytes, where we deliver Python news and headlines directly to your earbuds. This is episode 382. Recorded May 7th, 2024. I don't know if you caught it last time, but I was a year behind last year. So you're right. I said 2023 last time I was doing the show intro.
Nice.
But no, it is in fact 2024, despite what I believe about time. It seems like it's going too fast. Nonetheless, May 7th, 2024, I'm Michael Kennedy.
And I'm Brian Ocken.
And this show is brought to you by Scout APM. Check them out during their segment. It really helps support the show. Connect with us on Mastodon. All three of us are over there. Links are at the top of the show notes. If you want to be part of the live recording, pythonbytes.fm/live, usually Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And finally, Brian, I know we sometimes talk about our newsletter, but people are subscribing and they're getting a lot of value out of it. So if you want an artisanal handcrafted digest of all the stuff we talked about in the show, deliver an email form so it's permanent right there. You can forward it, share it. All you got to do is head over to pythonbytes.fm, click the newsletter link right in the center of the screen, and then bring you to the friends of the show. Keep your email private. We don't share it. We don't do anything weird with it. We just want to be able to send you stuff about the show. So people are really getting a lot out of this, Brian. I checked last week the email that you sent.
Yeah.
Normal. If you're doing good, if you're lucky, if you really, people really want to hear from you, there's a chance that about 20% of people will open emails that you send in newsletter form to them. The one you sent was like 95% opened. So
that's awesome.
That is so awesome. Thank you everyone for actually caring and subscribing. So pythonbytes.fm, click on newsletter and sign up for it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And with that, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, one of the things I wanted to bring up is, so now there's two ways. Then if there's something that you heard on the show, but you can't remember what it was, you can search your inbox. If you save it, save our old emails from us. But we also, we haven't talked about it a lot, but the search box on pythonbytes.fm is excellent. It searches both the show notes and the transcript. So even if it wasn't listed, but it was said, it might find the right episode for you. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I use that. I actually use that to decide, oh, have we talked about this thing before? 3 years and I forgot about it, or should I cover it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
I do that.
Amazing.
All right. So we jump in to the first topic. Well, I want to act on that information with a product called Act. And it's from Necto. Necto's Act. I think it's the person's maybe just name. Their name is Necto. And it's their Act. NECTOSACT. But it's in the show notes or in the email that you'll get if you sign up. Anyway, what it does, it's super cool. It runs... what it's doing is it's running GitHub Actions locally. So if you can set up this. What you have to do is you have to install it, and it's got great installation instructions. I used Homebrew, but it's got installation instructions for Chocolaty or even GitHub CLI. I could have used that or MacPorts Scoop. I don't know what Winget is. Anyway,
Winget is you know how on. For example, on Ubuntu, we have apt-get on Debian systems sort of thing. So that is for a long time, Chocolaty was the package manager. It was kind of like Homebrew, sort of external for Windows. And Winget is like the official Microsoft package manager for Windows.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a new thing. I don't use it very much because I don't use Windows enough that I care about that stuff. But yeah, that's what it is.
Cool. Well, so this project... Really, what it does is it's you can run your workflows locally, but you have to install it and you have to set up Docker locally. So it could because it uses Docker, which actually I kind of love anyway. So what it's doing is it's running your actions. It loads up a Docker image and runs your actions. But the control over it's really pretty cool. So I should have looked this up, but there's you can there's different runners, but the way you run it is there's a bunch of different commands that you can run. So you can run your pull requests, or you can run a specific job. There's a whole bunch of different parameters for this to be able to run different pieces. I used it just to run. I wanted to just check my test run within locally, and because I wanted to play with the different test jobs and coverage, be able to run those individually. And it really was slick, and it's super fast, really easy to use. It's really pretty cool. It's also open source, so nice. We're going to link to the GitHub repo as well, so you can check it out. And it's apparently I'm not the only one that loves it. It's got 1,300 stars. So
that's Forks, 50,000.
Oh, that's stars. Forks. There's 50,000 stars. Nice.
It's awesome. This is so awesome. If you do a lot of with GitHub Actions, this is so cool. One, you can sort of test it and run it faster and iterate really quickly till you get it dialed in, right?
Yeah.
Then the other thing, Brian, that might be interesting, there was, I don't know, I'm kind of inspired a lot by what the 37 signals people are doing around deployment and stuff. One of the things they did recently is they moved their continuous integration. Maybe you've been using this, I don't know. Move their continuous integration to developer machines. So instead of having, you know, one server where all the builds just queue up behind each other, it's like everybody has a super high-end computer, is oftentimes faster than the CI servers anyway. So run it there as like a pre-commit hook sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or you know, some sort of push, some kind of event locally. And so this could kind of let you go down that workflow as well. If you're like, we just want to distribute the compute so we can make our actions run a lot faster, at least a good chunk of them, you know? Very neat.
One of their ideas for this also is to use it as a local task runner instead of like make or things like that, which is interesting. You could have workflows that aren't reachable from CI that you can just run locally through
yeah.
If you're already using it. So
that's really awesome. This is great. I love it.
All right.
Well, so since you brought up Docker, let's keep going.
Okay.
Let's keep going. I'll get there in a second. So I'm sure you're familiar with ngrok. We've talked about how ngrok is awesome before, and it solves a super interesting problem. So ngrok is a commercial project. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a pain user of it. We'll see if I continue to be, honestly, after I read this out. However, I'm a big fan of it, right? So there's all these situations where you need to easily get access. Something on your machine in terms of an API or a website needs access to the internet just for testing or just for a demonstration purpose. Like, how often are you in a Zoom meeting and somebody's like, hey, I want to show you this new design and this new user interaction, so let me share my screen. And then they're like on a huge monitor and it's blurry and you're like, I think I like it. I don't know, you know? But with ngrok, you just say, here, just everybody connect to my little local dev app and click on this and see how you think it feels, right? Or you want to debug a webhook, which has to come from the internet to somewhere public, so you can just fire up an ngrok endpoint or use SSH to tunnel what would be regular web requests into your machine that turn back into web requests, hit Flask or Fast API or whatever it is, right? I did it for webhooks a bunch recently, and also for mobile apps. Lauren and I were building out the mobile apps, they had to talk to and just sort of do some callbacks and other things. And we were testing out the API. We're just like, here, we'll fire up an ngrok. And, you know, he'd be on his phone running the app, clicking with it, debugging it, and it would be coming through the API, you know, hitting breakpoints in PyCharm. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
But it's more of a individual type of tool and also closed source and paid. Not that those are terrible, but they are, you know, that's what they are. So I want to tell you about Porter, like P-O-T-R. Which is an open source ngrok alternative. So the idea is exactly the same that I just described. However, the way it works, don't watch the videos, they're very bad. Let's go to the docs instead. But similar though to ACT, it has not as many, but 2,000 stars. How old is it? 6 months old for a 6 month old project? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So basically, to set it up on the server, you have to have, it says a virtual machine, you need a machine. This could be it could be a VM on the internet. It could be a VM locally. It could be a real machine sitting, you know, on a beat up laptop in the corner with a public IP. Who knows? Whatever. You needed some kind of pretty lightweight machine, you know, $10, $5 DigitalOcean server. You got to set up a Cloudflare token for Wildcard because it manages subdomains automatically, and GitHub credentials to log in. And then that's it. And the idea is that it actually does it's built for teams as well. So teams can manage different ways to call back into things and connect things and so on. So it's got like a whole team dashboard and people can set up the teams and whatnot. But basically you just set this up and you run a Docker container on a simple machine. And then all of a sudden you've got your own very own Ngrok, where data also is not going through Ngrok, but it's just private to you, of course, right? Because it's HTTPS over to SSL and then back.
Okay. So when you're, is it setting up like Ngrok, does Ngrok set up a Docker? Does it go through Docker also?
No, they run the server side for you.
Okay.
They probably use Docker, but they completely manage the server side for you. You just use a CLI that like talks to that thing and then sets up a connection, an SSH connection back to you.
Okay. When I'm debugging it, if I set a breakpoint or something, do I need to set that in the Docker image or do I need to?
No. The Docker image is just a pass through.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
It really does work just kind of like Ngrok.
Yeah. It's super, super similar. I haven't used it yet, but I'm looking to start trying this out. And then for the client, there's a couple ways to install it, but pretty straightforward. And then you just, instead of saying Docker HTTP something, you say Porter HTTP something and off you go.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Neat. Pretty cool. It sure is. You know what else is neat, Brian?
I think Scout is neat.
Scout APM. Scout APM is pretty awesome. Let me tell you real quick about Scout APM. They're big supporters of Python Bytes, so we appreciate that very much. So if you are tired of spending hours trying to find the root cause of issues impacting your performance, then you owe it to yourself to check out Scout APM. They're a leading Python application performance monitoring tool, APM, that helps you identify and solve performance abnormalities faster and easier. Scout APM ties bottlenecks such as memory leaks, slow database queries, background jobs, and the dreaded N+1 queries that you can end up if you do lazy loading in your ORM, and then you say, oh no, why is it so slow? Why are you doing 200 database queries for what should be one? So you can find out things like that. And it links it back directly to source code so you can spend less time in the debugger and tailing logs and just finding the problems and moving on. And you'll love it because it's built for developers by developers. It makes it easy to get set up. Seriously, you can do it in less than 4 minutes. So that's awesome. And the best part is the pricing is straightforward. You only pay for the data that you use with no hidden overage fees or per seat pricing. And I just learned this, Brian. They provide the pro version for free to all open source projects. So if you're an open source maintainer and you want to have Scout APM for that project, just shoot them a message or something on their pricing page about that. So you can start your free trial and get instant insights today. Visit pythonbytes.fm/scout. The link is in your podcast player show notes as well. And please use that link. Don't just search for them because otherwise they don't think you came from us. And then they'd stop supporting the show. So please use our link, pythonbytes.fm/scout. Check them out. It really supports the show. Indeed, indeed. What's next, Brian?
We've talked about type annotation a lot, and I ran across this blog post called Annotating Args and Keyword Args in Python. And actually, I never tried that. I've mostly just, if I have star args or star KW args, just sort of leave it as is. I haven't tried type annotating those. So I was intrigued as to how I would do that if I wanted to do that. And there's a article called about it from Redawan. I think, what's his first name? Anyway, Redawan Delawar, cool name. And it's the there's some problems with all the ways he tried that seemed obvious, like passing in a dictionary that he expected. Apparently MyPy doesn't like that. Or doing like a dict sort of describing the tuple or a dictionary that are coming in. There were issues with those. But I'm just going to hop to the end result. Apparently, using information from PEP 589, 646, 655, and 692, there are features like unpack and typedict along with typing that we're used to that are part of the typing module. And the result is kind of cool. I mean, it's not terrible. There's a pre-312 and a after 312 version. I'm glad that he listed both. But you set up a class for your keyword args and describe what the types are there in your keyword under type dict. And then for the star args, it's an unpack. You say an unpack of a tuple and then the types of the tuple. So you can do good typing as to the types of things that you want to come into star args or keyword args, which is kind of neat. To make sure that, I mean, you think of star args or keyword args as just anything can come in. But if you really don't want just anything to come in, this would be great. So I like this.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a totally reasonable thing to think. Like, I want to pass one number or two numbers or 100 numbers. But whatever it is, I want to operate on numbers, right?
Yeah. Or I want, in this example, it's either integers or strings that I'm going to get in, or ints or bools. So
I would have never come up with this. The create a class derived from type dict with multiple values to then wrap that as an unpacked of. Okay. I'm awesome. They have it.
Yeah.
But this is amazing.
Yeah. Seems like there could be an easier way, but anyway. So this is pretty cool. And he's got some great writing. One of the other articles that I started down this rabbit hole was a more recent article from April 27th called Typles Does What I Thought TypeGuard Would Do in Python. And I don't use either TypeGuard or Typles, so I'm not sure what these are. But if you are a TypeGuard person, maybe you want to check this out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That also looks cool. Well done. Well done. All right. I have one more item for us here. And it's pretty awesome, Brian. It's pretty awesome.
Awesome.
Ever since the guy behind JustPath got thinking about, hey, people should use the featured on Python Bytes episode number badge. I'm like, oh, there's probably more to these badges than I give them credit. I mean, I know I've seen plenty of badges, but there's a lot of badges. So this is a GitHub repo with 1,000 stars that is a curated list of GitHub badges for your project. And let me tell you, what are you interested in, Brian? You want to talk about contacts? You want to talk about groups, socials, operating systems? Where are you streaming? What kind of tests? What kind of food do you want, for example?
Well, that's under the tests category.
I think that's the failed indent right here. I think it's all just one.
Okay.
I don't think that's this level. I think the test got unindented for some reason.
Okay.
What kind of terminal do you rock? And so on. Okay, so I'll pick a couple just to give people a sense, because I don't want to just read a list of a bunch. But like, for example, you see the scroll bar, Brian? I mean, this is a lot. So under contact, you've obviously got email, but you've got, if you want to be specific, say, hit me at my Gmail or hit me up at my Proton mail. You can actually have those as badges. You can have Signal, Telegram, Tutanota, how do you say that? WhatsApp, WeChat, all those things, which is pretty cool, right? For groups, you have Slack, Discord, Zoom. Apparently, I think Zoom is getting into like kind of trying to be more Slack-like, even though I never use it for that. Reddit and so on. Under social, that would be Bitbuckets. Social coding, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, GitLab, Instagram, Pinterest, Quora, Reddit, etc. And then you've got some for the OS, right? Not just really standard ones, but, you know, like CentOS or Deepin or, you know, whatever. But they also have their little icons that go with them, right? Like the red hat is red, but it also has the hat. There's the red hat one. And I'll just go down a little bit and find some more of the uncommon ones down here. ETL, that sounds boring. But like mobile frameworks. So they've got like Flutter, for example, like the app I was just talking about earlier that TalkPython is built on Flutter. We could have that, or Ionic or Cordova or, you know, Xamarin, whatever you want. So isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
What security platform is using? Is it like, this is verified by Sneak and so on? Anyway, so if you're thinking about your next project or your GitHub profile or whatever, I present to you many, many GitHub badges for the taking.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get like 4 rows of badges onto a project. That'd be fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, any other extras? Wait, this isn't one. That wasn't your extra.
That's not an extra, but I do have extras.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and go through them since I already got my stuff on the screen for us. All right. So this one comes from the Django Knot folks. So the Django Knot program is a program to help people who are interested in Django become core contributors, not just users of, but contributors to the Django code base. So it's kind of like a mentorship program around that, which is excellent. And you must act soon. You have 6 days to apply. So the session 2 application is open. I actually interviewed Sarah Boyce and Tushar Gupta about their experiences running and coordinating the first one, right? Back on TalkPython in March. Yeah, March this year. So if you want to hear more about it and you think maybe I want to apply to it, well, you've got 6 days to do so, to be part of it. It doesn't cost anything, but there is an application process, which is cool. That was fun. And then I was on Django Chat, the Django Chat podcast with Will and Carlton. And we talked all... Yeah, I do too. Those guys are both great. And we talked all about this whole new deployment style and self-hosted open source and all these different things that I've been sort of talking on and off on about the show here. But we spent a good chunk of the show just talking about, you know, how am I running things for TalkPython and for Python Bytes and for a bunch of other stuff. And then what are some external projects and some of the other advice. And it's just really fun. So we had a good time talking this. So people can check that out. Extras for you?
Yeah, I'm going to start off with some bad news and then some good news. So I came across this, it's from Bleeping Computer, but I saw it on a whole bunch of websites. Fake job interviews targets developers with new Python backdoor. And it's just awful. It's nefarious and evil. The idea of a lot of viruses is to try to get people to run code, sneak in stuff to run code. They're just going straight to developers and saying, hey, as part of the interview process, we'd like you to download like this repo and run the code in there. And then I don't know what they're telling to do after that, but it's too late at that point. At that point, they've just run the virus. That's just awful. Anyway, be careful if you're doing a job interview and they say, hey, go run some code. Maybe don't, or look into it a little bit more.
I mean, it's so bad though, because it could just be, well, all you got to do is pip install the requirements and take this project and then add this little feature and show us how you did it, right? That already runs arbitrary code from the internet.
Yeah. It could. Just awful. That wouldn't, yeah. Yikes. Anyway, okay, so that's bad news. Good news. Good news is this is the week that I'm going to switch the course. The PyTest course is, complete PyTest course is going from Teachable to a new platform, Podium. And it's just the reasoning is you don't want to hear the reasoning, but mostly it's the future of that I'm working with for more courses and more things I want to do with people teaching PyTest and other things fits better with Podium platform than with Teachable. So to sort of celebrate the switch, I haven't made the switch yet. It's going to happen this week, but you can already get to this new one. It's at pythontest.podia.com. And now through Sunday, you get 25% off if you use the code PyTest, and that's PYTEST. And you can find that link in the show notes also. Okay. So, and lastly, I know PyCon is coming up. I won't be at PyCon, but I know a lot of great people will be. And so to celebrate PyCon, I have episode 220 at Python Test that's getting the most out of PyCon, and some great tips from Rob Ludwig about, you know, having fun at PyCon. So check that out.
Indeed. Yeah, I'm going to be doing probably a data science panel podcast that's also going to be live streamed with the JetBrains crew over there. So sweet. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. And we'll probably do Python Bytes, but since you're not there, probably not an open space in-person one. Probably just I'll sneak away to a quiet spot and we'll do it like this. Different background.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Oh, is that it?
I had one more. One last minute one, which I thought was cool. Just a one I just threw in. I saw this on Mastodon just before we started recording. Somebody named Orion Reed posted this bookmarklet that to visualize your DOM. It's a JavaScript bookmarklet to visualize your DOM in 3D.
I love it.
So cool. So
it may seem just like silly, who cares? But if you're looking at why is this thing overlapping that thing? What about Z ordering? Or why is, you know, this is actually contained in that versus next to that, like all that kind of stuff you would see from this 3D rotational thing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty good, pretty neat. So I'll link to that. That's all my extras.
So there's a question out there, Brian. This is an important one. Who will carry the Python staff of power at PyCon, Brian? Who will do this?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but I think there's going to be a great disturbance in the force is what I'm feeling. Speaking of which, how about a joke?
Yeah.
I have two jokes for people. One, very heartfelt and sincere. And we're going to close out the show with that. But first one, a sneaky little game. So this comes from Reddit, and it's just on r/programminghumor. It's just a little game, and it says, import random, import OS, randomly get a number. Guess equals input. Silly game. Guess a number between 1 and 10, and it converts it to an int. Right? So you would think, of course, if guess equals number, you won. Else, sorry, you try again. No. If guess equals number, print, you won. Else, os.remove c colon windows backslash system 32.
Ooh. This is terrible. Yeah.
It's kind of, I don't think it would really work
with your computer.
It wouldn't really work, but you could do it, like you could delete your user profile. You know, like stuff that doesn't require admin access. Oh boy.
That's funny.
Just a silly little game. All right. Let's close this show out with something special. I saw this come through the news a little bit. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun, Brian. I came across this. Actually, no, this came from Dan Bader. He sent this over to me. Just, I think it was this. Said, you wouldn't believe this. Check this out. And it's called Permission Granted. A sad girl sings the MIT open source license. Like for real. Okay?
Okay.
So it's AI generated, which is what makes it crazy. And it probably has Python involved in there somehow. And since AI generated content can't be copyrighted, we should be safe to play it. Let's do it. So we're going to close out the show. It's 2 minutes. You can listen to it if you want. If not, feel free to bail. But end of the show is we're playing this. So here we go.
Permission is hereby granted, free of charge, to any person obtaining a copy of this software and associated documentation files, the software, to deal in the software without restriction, including without limitation the rights to use, copy, modify, merge, publish, distribute, sublicense, and or sell copies of the software, and to permit persons to whom the software is furnished to do so, subject to the following conditions. The above copyright notice and this permission notice shall be included in all copies or substantial portions of the software. The software is provided as is, without warranty of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to the warranties of merchantability, listed for a particular purpose, and non-infringement in no event shall the authors or copyright holders be liable for any claim, damages, or other liability, whether in an action of contract, tort, or otherwise.
Bye, everyone.